Blog Talk Radio.
They lock up people like me, deposit us in concrete rooms with padded walls, distance from sun and society. It's for our own good, they say, like the forcefully injected vaccines and mind-shattering electroshock. This will cure the voices in your head. Enough shock will cure anything. Even objection to our protocol, screams and sheer resentment. They'll have you sign for your own demise as drool slimes down a treasure grin. You're oblivious to respond or mean different. Signing on the dotted line means consent to torture. They call this evil in any civilized world, but here, treatment at the doctor's discretion. The guy under the guise of supervision. The only difference between a raving lunatic, a babbling idiot, and a prophetic seer is that one knows when to speak and whom to speak with. The others, speak on anything with anybody, having no foresight for concern or care for the consequences of retribution. This grand but subtle deviation differentiates between health and well-being. Watch where it is you wander, friend. The night has strange requiem. This way to paradise. Welcome, friends. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is FallenAngels.tv. And today I'm going to cover a text. It's referred to as For Baruch. And for those that don't know, Baruch was the scribe of Jeremiah during the time when the temple was to be destroyed and they were to be taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And what makes this story so interesting is that it's one of those biblical texts that actually provides reference for the Most High having the ability to alter time, space, and dimension, and to affect it in any way that he should wish, meaning that he's omnipresent and omniscient and standing out and above and surpassing time and space, can alter it to his directive, his particular will, which not many people have heard about this particular book. It's called the, as I said, For Baruch, or the Paralipomena Jeremiah, which I believe is Greek. And just to give you a little bit of background on the story, a summary being, the night before Jerusalem's destruction, the Lord reveals to Jeremiah that the city is to be attacked by his angels so that it can be handed over to the Chaldeans. He instructs Jeremiah to hide the temple vessels and to accompany the exiles to Babylon. Baruch is to stay in Jerusalem until their return. Jeremiah's request that his faithful servant Abimelech be spared. And so he's instructed to send him out to the city to gather figs at the farm of Agrippa. Abimelech takes a 66-year nap, being preserved as well. When he awakens, the figs are still fresh, but he does not recognize his surroundings. He is eventually reunited with Baruch, who takes his awakening as a sign that the exiles will soon return and the fresh figs as proof of the resurrection. Baruch sends a letter to Jeremiah, urging him to return with the exiles. And back in Jerusalem, Jeremiah has a vision of the divine mysteries, including the coming of Jesus Christ. This particular text, there's a short version and a long version. It's only 9 chapters long, and so I'll be able to cover it. But another interesting aspect of the text is that it also aligns with something that for those that know about Ron Wyatt's work and how he had discovered, hello friends, and how he had discovered the Ark of the Covenant, as well as the chariots of Pharaoh at the bottom of the Red Sea, which also verified the parting of the Red Sea and their entering onto the dry seabed to chase Moses and the Israelites that were exiting on the other side during the time of that they were freed during the Exodus. And how it aligns with this particular story is that if you don't know about Ron Wyatt's work, he was given a vision while walking with an Israeli antiquities, one of the individuals over the antiquities department there. And he blabbed out that the Ark of the Covenant was located in Jeremiah's grotto. And for many people thought that it had been taken out of the city prior to the destruction and the conquest of the temple as well as Jerusalem. But this story, and there are others, which talk about the Most High tells Jeremiah to bring them to a particular gate or to a particular part of the city, and then he opens the ground and has the earth swallow them in order to protect them from falling into the hands of those that would take over, those that would, you know, conquer the land, and also that would steal all of the holy vestures and artifacts there from the temple. And so this story aligns with that. It also aligns with, if you don't know, Ron also discovered that below Jeremiah's grotto was the place where Yeshua and the two thieves were crucified on the cross. And that when Yeshua died on the cross, there was an earthquake which sent a crack all the way down through the ground from where the cross was located, and that the blood of the Son, it had followed that crack and actually came out onto the Ark of the Covenant. And that discovering the dry blood having seeped through the crack, Ron Wyatt speaks about how he had it tested. And the intriguing thing about the blood is that it only showed one chromosome from the paternal side of the parents, of Yeshua's parents. And, you know, we know that Mary being his mother, that she was a virgin, and that the Holy Spirit had placed within her womb or Yeshua had inserted himself there. Either way, it was a supernatural conception. Immaculate conception is what they refer to. But anyway, so there were 23 chromosomes from the maternal side, Mary being of earthly and human origin, being born of woman, and that the one Y chromosome from the father's side was also verification that Yeshua was special in his incarnation, and that indeed the Most High God was his father. And you can also tell when Ron Wyatt recollects this account in video testimony, he is moved to tears. And I know that for many of you, myself included, that often as I read scripture or something that is just specifically touching, especially like when I read the infancy gospels of Yeshua's childhood, even when he was as a babe, and how Mary used his bathwater to heal people, to heal other children, to restore them from their infirmities, their disease, that I'm often moved to tears when reading those stories. Many times, or when I'm speaking about the crucifixion or the resurrection, that often the Spirit will move me to tears. Many of you have heard me, in trying to relate certain stories on a live broadcast, how I will have to take some space of time in order to regather my composure so that I can continue on. And I know that it's the same for you, that because of our recognition of the special sacrifice that the Lord made for each one of us in delivering us a forgiveness of sins and a chance to be redeemed through his sacrifice and through his blood, to take part in eternal inheritance, in salvation, that it affects me deeply. And I know for many of you that it is in the same way. And so, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I do recommend that you look up on YouTube Ron Wyatt, RONWYATT, the testimony of his having discovered the Ark of the Covenant. And when he gets to the part where he speaks about discovering the blood and having it tested, how moving and how deeply affecting it is, even now as I relate the story to you. But anyway, so this is one of those extra biblical texts which confirms the Ark of the Covenant having been buried. And there's also another passage in the first book of Adam and Eve which speaks about how Adam is told that when the Word of God, the Son, when he was to be crucified on the cross, how his blood would fall upon his bones. And so it makes me wonder whether Adam's bones are somewhere also located in the bottom of Jeremiah's grotto. And so anyways, it's an interesting story, to say the least, both of those. And so I'll go ahead and get into the text. I want to definitely make sure that I can make it through. And you know, this is one of those books that not many people are well aware of. Not many have read about it or heard about it. And not many understand its application to time travel and dimensionality. And this particular story, and I mentioned this in this particular scripture in the show that I did with Dan Duvall and Carolyn Hamlet, which I've uploaded to YouTube under, I'll pull it up real quick. But we were talking about spiritual warfare and time travel. And that show was deeply, deeply profound and very insightful. And, you know, in regards to dimensionality, we spoke about Al Billick, the Philadelphia experiment, those things, which, if you don't know what I'm talking about there, also look up on YouTube Al Bielek, B-I-E-L-E-K, and the the Philadelphia Experiment project, which was a, they were trying to make a entire battleship invisible to radar. And it actually sent it into the future. It caused a lot of people to, a lot of soldiers to be killed, but Al and his brother Duncan, they jumped from the ship and actually were able to witness for a time the future. And, you know, Al ended up being in the hospital there, but they ended up returning back from the future and made it back to their, you know, present timeline, and were able to relate their story. Fascinating, fascinating. It's also in connection to Project Montauk, where both of Al speaks about, you know, some of his interactions with these reptilian entities, the Nakash-like entities that that the U.S. government is working with on some of these particular topics. Anyways, here is the show that I did with Carolyn and Dan on I hope it wasn't for a long time, but I just now recognized it. And so I wanted, I'm going to go ahead and read from this text. I was just saying that should any of you be interested in purchase an autographed copy of my new book, The Flat Earth as Key to Decrypt the Book of Enoch, that I will be receiving copies early this upcoming week. And so just contact me through ZenGarcia.com, and I'll be glad to get you copies. I don't know how that got muted, but we're back, and so I apologize for that. All right, continuing. The things omitted from Jeremiah the prophet, because this is a story that you do not find within the canon. It came to pass when the children of Israel were taken captive by the king of the Chaldeans that God spoke to Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, my chosen one, arise and depart from this city, you and Baruch, since I am going to destroy it because of the multitude of the sins of those who dwell in it. For your prayers are like a solid pillar in its midst, and like an indestructible wall surrounding it. Now then, arise and depart before the host of the Chaldeans surround it. And Jeremiah answered, saying, I beseech you, Lord, permit me, your servant, to speak in your presence. And the Lord said to him, speak, my chosen one, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah spoke, saying, Lord Almighty, would you deliver the chosen city into the hands of the Chaldeans so that the king, with the multitude of his people, might boast and say, I have prevailed over the holy city of God? No, my Lord, but if it is your will, let it be destroyed by your hands. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, since you are my chosen one, arise and depart from this city, you and Baruch, for I am going to destroy it because of the multitude of the sins of those who dwell in it. For neither the king nor his host will be able to enter it unless I first open its gates. Arise then and go to Baruch and tell him these words. And when you have arisen at the sixth hour of the night, go out on the city walls, and I will show you that unless I first destroy the city, they cannot enter it. And when the Lord had said this, he departed from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah ran and told these things to Baruch, and as they went, into the temple of God, Jeremiah tore his garments and put dust on his head and entered the holy place of God. And when Baruch saw him with dust sprinkled on his head and his garments torn, he cried out in a loud voice, saying, Father Jeremiah, what are you doing? What sin has the people committed? For whenever the people sinned, Jeremiah would sprinkle dust on his head and would pray for the people until their sin was forgiven. And so Baruch asked him, saying, Father, what is this? And Jeremiah said to him, refrain from rending your garments. Rather, let us rend our hearts, and let us not draw water from the trough, for the trough, but let us weep and fill them with tears, for the Lord will not have mercy on his people. And Baruch said, Father Jeremiah, what has happened? And Jeremiah said, God is delivering the city into the hands of the kings of the Chaldeans to take the people captive into Babylon. And when Baruch heard these things, he also tore his garments and said, Father Jeremiah, who has made this known to you? And Jeremiah said to him, stay with me a while until the sixth hour of the night, so that you may know that this word is true. Therefore they both remained in the altar area, weeping, and their garments were torn. Just a real quick comment, because I know that when I had pasted the link to the show that I did with Carolyn and Dan Duvall, that for whatever reason it was muted. But what I was saying during that particular part is that the show that I did with them on the 14th of October on Revolution Radio, that we were talking about spiritual warfare, interdimensionality. We were talking about the Philadelphia experiment and how Al Billick and his brother Duncan, being part of the Philadelphia experiment, how they were taken into the future, and that this particular experiment was an attempt by the U.S. military to make a battleship, a cruiser, invisible to military radar. And that when they used this high-powered, this energy field, surrounded this battleship with this energy field, that it gave them protection somewhat. But what the real results was that it launched them into the future, so that Duncan and Al and many of the other naval men, some of them found themselves fused to the hull of the battleship or to other portions, that the physical properties of both they and the battleship, that much like Star Trek, you know, the whole beam me up Scotty, where their molecules and their atoms, they disintegrate and then realign and reappear in other place, that this is what happened to them. But Duncan and Al, they jumped over the edge of the battleship and were able to, in some manner, to return back to a normal timeline. And they survived the event and were able to then share their story with we as a future generation. And so that's what that particular link and that particular reference was about. All right, chapter 3. And when the hour of the night arrived, as the Lord had told Jeremiah, they came up together on the walls of the city, Jeremiah and Baruch. And behold, there came a sound of trumpets, and angels emerged from heaven holding torches in their hands, and they set them on the walls of the city. And when Jeremiah and Baruch saw them, they wept, saying, "Now we know that the word is true." And Jeremiah besought the angel, saying, "I beseech you, do not destroy the city yet, until I say something to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the angel, saying, "Do not destroy the city until I speak to my chosen one, Jeremiah." Then Jeremiah spoke, saying, "I beg you, Lord, bid me to speak in your presence." And the Lord said, "Speak, my chosen one, Jeremiah." And Jeremiah said, "Behold, Lord, now we know that you are delivering the city into the hands of its enemies, and they will take the people away to Babylon. What do you want me to do with the holy vessels of the temple service?" I'm not sure if you were able to hear the part where I was telling you about the story of Ron Wyatt and how the Ark of the Covenant, it was swallowed by the earth and ended up being in Jeremiah's grotto, and that's where he located it. It's been several years back, maybe even two decades or so. But Ron Wyatt did, God willing, was allowed to discover the Ark of the Covenant, and it was protected by the angels, and still is as a matter of fact. All right, but anyways, Ron was, you know, he was also talking about how he had discovered the blood of Yeshua on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and how the blood confirmed that there was only one Y chromosome from the fatherly paternal figure, and 23 from the Virgin Mary. Anyways, it's a fascinating story, and so you should check it out on YouTube. All right, continuing. And the Lord said to me, the Lord said to him, "Take them and consign them to the earth, saying, 'Hear, earth, the voice of your Creator, who formed you in the abundance of waters, who sealed you with seven seals for seven epochs,'" which that's an interesting thing as well, because, you know, 7,000 years for them to be sealed up for that seven periods, which in my opinion are the 7,000 years comprising the Second World Age. And I'll check the chat room here in just a short bit. "Who formed you in the abundance of waters, who sealed you with seven seals for seven epochs, and after this you will receive your ornaments. Guard the vessels of the temple service until the gathering of the beloved." And Jeremiah spoke, saying, "I beseech you, Lord, show me what I should do for Abimelech the Ethiopian, for he has done many kindness to your servant Jeremiah. For he pulled me out of the miry pit, and I do not wish that he should see the destruction and desolation of this city, but that you should be merciful to him, and that he should not be grieved." And the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Send him to the vineyard of Agrippa, and I will hide him in the shadow of the mountain until I cause the people to return to the city. And you, Jeremiah, go with your people into Babylon and stay with them." preaching to them until I cause them to return to the city. But leave Baruch here until I speak with him. When he had said these things, the Lord ascended from Jeremiah into heaven. But Jeremiah and Baruch entered the holy place, and taking the vessels of the temple service, they consigned them to the earth as the Lord had told them. And immediately the earth swallowed them, and they both sat down and wept. And when morning came, Jeremiah sent Abimelech, saying, take a basket and go to the estate of Agrippa by the mountain road and bring back some figs to give to the sick among the people. For the favor of the Lord is on you and his glory is on your head. And when he had said this, Jeremiah sent him away, and Abimelech wept as he told him. All right, let me go ahead and check since we're in chapter 4. All right, 1 second. I had to paste the text from the chat. Okay, yeah, y'all are talking about the story of the Ark being rediscovered, and it's a fascinating tale, and yeah, the Ira was talking about how some of the Jews that were sent in to remove the Ark, how they were struck down, and how even when Ron, and he was working with this Middle Eastern gentleman who owned a restaurant that fed Ron freely from his restaurant. He was working with Ron, and he, being of smaller stature, he was able to fit through different tunnels and different cracks and different aspects of the cave system. And Ron would use him to go in before himself, and that the gentleman would tell Ron what was discovered, what he had seen. And when they had discovered the portion of the cave where the Ark of the Covenant was stored, when this gentleman went in, he came out as fast as he could, as if he had seen a ghost. And he refused to go in there. And he refused to work with Ron again thereafter. And he immediately also had to leave the cave system because he was frightened so horribly from, you know, because the Ark was being protected by the angels. And only Ron was allowed to enter therein. It's a beautiful story. It'll move you to tears. It did me. All right, continuing. And when morning came, behold, the host of the Chaldeans surrounded the city. And the great angel trumpeted, saying, enter the city, host of the Chaldeans, for behold, the gate is open for you. Therefore, let the king enter with his multitudes, and let him take all the people captive. But taking the keys of the temple, Jeremiah went outside of the city and threw them away in the presence of the sun, saying, I say to you, son, take the keys of the temple of God and guard them until the day in which the Lord asked you for them. For we have not been found worthy to keep them, for we have become unfaithful guardians. And while Jeremiah was still weeping for the people, He brought them out with the people and dragged them into Babylon. But Baruch put dust on his head and sat and wailed this lamentation, saying, "Why has Jerusalem been devastated? Because of the sins of the beloved people, she was delivered into the hands of the enemies. Because of our sins and those of the people, but let not the lawless ones boast and say, 'We were strong enough to take the city of God by our might, but it was delivered to you because of our sins.' And God would pity us and cause us to return to our city, but you will not survive. Blessed are our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they departed from this world and did not see the destruction of this city." And when he had said this, Baruch departed from the city, weeping and saying, "Grieving because of you, Jerusalem, I went out from you." And he remained sitting in a tomb while the angels came to him and explained to him everything that the Lord revealed to him through them. Chapter 5. But Abimelech took the figs in the burning heat, and coming upon a tree, he sat under its shade to rest a bit. And leaning his head on the basket of figs, he fell asleep and slept for 66 years. And he was not awakened from his slumber. And afterward, when he awoke from his sleep, he said, "I slept sweetly for a little while, but my head is heavy because I did not get enough sleep." Then he uncovered the basket of figs and found them dripping milk. And he said, "I would like to sleep a little longer because my head is heavy, but I am afraid that I might fall asleep and be late in awakening, and my father Jeremiah would think badly of me. For if he were not in a hurry, he would not have sent me today at daybreak. And so I will get up and proceed in the burning heat, for isn't there heat? Isn't there toil every day?" And so he got up and he took the basket of figs and placed it on his shoulders, and he entered into Jerusalem. And he did not recognize it, neither his own home nor the place, nor did he find his own family or any of his acquaintances. And he said, "The Lord be blessed, for a great trance has come over me today. This is not the city Jerusalem, and I have lost my way because I came by the mountain road when I arose from my sleep, and since my head was heavy because I did not get enough sleep, I lost my way. It will seem incredible to Jeremiah that I lost my way." And he departed from the city, and as he searched, he saw the landmarks of the city, and he said, "Indeed, this is the city I lost my way." And again he returned to the city and searched and found no one of his own people. And he said, "The Lord be blessed, for a great trance has come over me." And again he departed from the city and he stayed there grieving and not knowing where he should go. And while he put the basket, while he put down the basket, saying, "I will sit here until the Lord takes the trance from me." And as he sat, he saw an old man coming from the field. And Abimelech said to him, "I say to you, old man, what city is this?" And he said to him, "It is Jerusalem." And Abimelech said to him, "Where is Jeremiah the priest and Baruch the secretary, and all the people of this city, for I could not find them?" And the old man said to him, "Are you not from this city, seeing that you remember Jeremiah today because you were asking about him after such a long time. For Jeremiah is in Babylon with the people, for they were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and Jeremiah is with them to preach to them, preach the good news to them, and to teach them the word. As soon as Abimelech heard this from the old man, he said, "If you were not an old man, and if you were not for the fact that it is not lawful for a man to upbraid one older than himself, I would laugh at you and say that you are out of your mind. Since you say that the people have been taken captive into Babylon, even if the heavenly torrents had descended on them, there has not yet been time for them to go into Babylon. For how much time has passed since my father Jeremiah sent me to the estate of Agrippa to bring a few figs so that I might give them to the sick among the people? And I went and I got them, and when I came to a certain tree, in the burning heat I sat to rest a little, and I leaned my head on the basket and fell asleep. And when I awoke, I uncovered the basket of figs, supposing that I was late, and I found the figs dripping milk just as I had collected them. But you claim that the people have been taken captive into Babylon, but that you might know, take the figs and see." And he uncovered the basket of figs for the old man, and he saw them dripping milk. And when the old man saw them, he said, "Oh, my son, you are a righteous man, and God did not want you to see the desolation of the city, and so he brought this trance upon you. For behold, it is 66 years today since the people were taken captive into Babylon. But that you might learn, my son, that what I tell you is true, look into the field and see that the ripening of the crops has not yet appeared. And notice that the figs are not in season, and be enlightened." And then Abimelech cried out in a loud voice, saying, "I bless you, O God of heaven and earth, the rest of the souls of the righteous in every place." And then he said to the old man, "What month is this?" And he said, "Nisan," which is Abib. For those that don't know, Nisan is the first month of spring. And it's also the month that Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as well as the feast, the Day of First Fruits, and the 7-day festival of first fruits begins, as well as the 49-day festival of leading up to Pentecost. All right. And taking some of the figs, he gave them to the old man and said to him, "May God illumine your way to the city above Jerusalem." After this, Abimelech went out of the city and prayed to the Lord. And behold, an angel of the Lord came and took him by the right hand and brought him back to where Baruch was sitting. And he found him in a tomb. And when they saw each other, they both wept and kissed each other. But when Baruch looked up, he saw with his own eyes the figs that were covered in Abimelech's basket. And lifting his eyes to heaven, he prayed, saying, "You are the God who gives a reward to those who love you. Prepare yourself, my heart, and rejoice and be glad, while you are in your tabernacle, saying to your fleshly house, your grief has been changed to joy, for the sufficient one is coming and will deliver you in your tabernacle, for there is no sin in you. Revive in your tabernacle in your virginal faith and believe that you will live. Look at this basket of figs, for behold, they are 66 years old and have not become shriveled or rotten, but they are dripping milk. And so it will be with you, my flesh, if you do what is commanded you by the angel of righteousness. He who preserved the basket of figs, the same will again preserve you by his power. And when Baruch had said this, he said to Abimelech, stand up and let us pray, that the Lord may make known to us how we shall be able to send to Jeremiah in Babylon the report about the shelter provided for you on the way. And Baruch prayed, saying, Lord God, our strength is the elect, light which comes forth from your mouth. We beseech and beg of your goodness, you whose great name no one is able to know. Hear the voice of your servants and let knowledge come into our hearts. What shall we do? And how shall we send this report to Jeremiah in Babylon? And while Baruch was still praying, behold, an angel of the Lord came and said all these words to Baruch. Agent of the light, do not be anxious about how you will send to Jeremiah, for an eagle is coming to you at the hour of light tomorrow, and you will direct him to Jeremiah. Therefore, write in a letter, say to the children of Israel, let the stranger who comes among you be set apart, and let 15 days go by, and after this I will lead you into your city, says the Lord. He who is not separated from Babylon will not enter into this city, and I will punish them by keeping them from being received back by the Babylonians, says the Lord. If you don't remember this particular part of the story, this is when all of those from the people that had taken on pagan wives, they were forced to leave their pagan wives, or they were not to be allowed to enter again into the land of Jerusalem. And they were not counted as part of the people that were allowed re-entry into Jerusalem. All right. And when the angel had said this, he departed from Baruch. And Baruch sent to the market of the Gentiles and got papyrus and ink and wrote a letter as follows. Baruch, the servant of God, writes to Jeremiah in the captivity of Babylon. Greetings, rejoice, for God has not allowed us to depart from his body, grieving for the city which was laid waste and outraged. Wherefore the Lord has had compassion on our tears and has remembered the covenant which he established with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he sent his angel to me, and he told me these words which I send to you. These then are the words which the Lord, the God of Israel, spoke, who led us out of Egypt, out of the great furnace. Because you did not keep my ordinances, but your heart was lifted up and you were haughty before me in anger. In wrath I delivered you to the furnace in Babylon. If therefore, says the Lord, you listen to my voice, from the mouth of Jeremiah my servant, I will bring the one who listens up from Babylon, but the one who does not listen will become a stranger to Jerusalem and to Babylon. And you will test them by means of the water of the Jordan. Whoever does not listen will be exposed. This is the sign of the great seal. And Baruch got up and departed from the tomb and found the eagle sitting outside the tomb. And the eagle said to him in a human voice, "Hail, Baruch, steward of the faith." And Baruch said to him, "You who speak are chosen from among all the birds of heaven, for this is clear. From the gleam of your eyes, tell me then, what are you doing here?" And the eagle said to him, "I was sent here so that you might through me send whatever message you want." And Baruch said to him, "Can you carry this message to Jeremiah in Babylon?" And the eagle said to him, "Indeed, it was for this reason I was sent." And Baruch took the letter and 15 figs from Abimelech's basket and tied them to the eagle's neck and said to him, "I say to you, king of the birds, go in peace with good health and carry the message for me. Do not be like this raven which Noah sent out and which never came back to him in the ark, but be like the dove which the third time brought a report to the righteous one. So you also take this good message to Jeremiah and to those in bondage with him, that it may be well with you. Take this papyrus to the people and to the chosen one of God. Even if all the birds of heaven surround you and want to fight with you, struggle. The Lord will give you strength. And do not turn aside to the right or to the left, but straight as a speeding arrow, go in the power of God, and the glory of the Lord will be with you the entire way." And then the eagle took flight and went away to Babylon, having the letter tied to his neck. And when he arrived, he rested on a post outside the city in a desert place. And he kept silent until Jeremiah came along, for he and some of the people were coming out to bury a corpse outside the city. For Jeremiah had petitioned King Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "Give me a place where I may bury those of my people who have died." And the king gave it to him. And as they were coming out with the body and weeping, they came to where the eagle was. And the eagle cried out in a loud voice, saying, "I say to you, Jeremiah, the chosen one of God, go and gather together the people and come here so that they may hear a letter which I have brought to you from Baruch and Abimelech." And when Jeremiah heard this, he glorified God. And he went and gathered together the people along with their wives and children. And he came to where the eagle was. And the eagle came down on the corpse and it revived. Now this took place so that they might believe. And all the people were astounded at what had happened and said, "This is the God who appeared to our fathers in the wilderness through Moses, and now he has appeared to us through the eagle." And the eagle said, "I say to you, Jeremiah, come, untie this letter and read it to the people." So he untied the letter and read it to the people. And when the people heard it, they wept and put dust on their heads. And they said to Jeremiah, "Deliver us and tell us what to do, that we may once again enter our city." And Jeremiah answered and said to them, "Do whatever you heard from this letter, and the Lord will lead us into our city." And Jeremiah wrote a letter to Baruch saying thus, "My beloved son, do not be negligent in your prayers beseeching God on our behalf, that he might direct our way until we come out of the judgment. out of the jurisdiction of the lawless king. For you have been found righteous before God, and he did not let you come here, lest you see the affliction which has come upon the people at the hands of the Babylonians. For it is like a father with an only son who is given over for punishment, and those who see his father and console him cover his face, lest he see how his son is being punished. And be even more ravaged by grief. For thus God took pity on you and did not let you enter Babylon, lest you see the affliction of the people. For since we came here, grief has not left us for 66 years today. For many times when I went out and I found some of the people hung up by King Nebuchadnezzar, crying and saying, have mercy on us, God Tsar. When I heard this, I grieved and cried with twofold mourning, not only because they were hung up, but because they were calling on a foreign god, saying, have mercy on us. But I remembered days of festivity, which we celebrated in Jerusalem before our captivity. And when I remembered, I groaned and returned to my house, wailing and weeping. Now then, pray in the place where you are, you and Abimelech, for this people, that they may listen to my voice and to the decree of my mouth, so that we may depart from here. For I tell you that the entire time we have spent here, they have kept us in subjection, saying, recite for us a song from the songs of Zion. Psalm 136. The song of your God. And we replied to them, how shall we sing for you, since we are in a foreign land? And after this, Jeremiah tied the letter to the eagle's neck, saying, go in peace, and may the Lord watch over both of us. And the eagle took flight and came to Jerusalem, gave the letter to Baruch. And when he had untied it, he read it and kissed it and wept when he heard about the distresses and the afflictions of the people. But Jeremiah took the figs and distributed them to the sick among the people. And he kept teaching them to abstain from the pollutions of the Gentiles of Babylon. A comment here before we move on. If you've not read the folklore which is associated to the reign of both David and Solomon, that Solomon, being the greatest and the wisest and appointed by Yahuwah to reign in David's stead, to be king over all of Israel, that not only was he given authority over the demons and was given a ring of power which allowed him to control the fallen angels and the demonic spirits, and that with this ring, and you can read this story in, called the Testament of Solomon. But anyways, with this ring, he was able to put these demons and these fallen angels to subject them to his will and to force them to work for him in construction of God's house. And that was one of the things that he was allowed to do in being granted position of power. And this is also why Solomon was able to, you know, all of the grimoires, the magical books, they attribute the power to conjure spirits and demonic entities to Solomon, the lesser and the greater keys of Solomon. That magic and the roots of magic find and holds its relationship to Solomon and these particular entities. And so the point of the story is that not only was Solomon able to subject the demons and the fallen angels, but he was also able to subject all the animals of the animal kingdom and even the insects. And he would ride around on a white lion, the king of the jungle, king of all the lions. He was able to ride out on this lion. And he also had a white eagle, which he was allowed to utilize, and that was subject to his will as well. And so, you know, this could be the same eagle. Anyways, continuing. And the day came in which the Lord brought the people out of Babylon. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Rise up, you and the people, and come to the Jordan, and say to the people, let anyone who desires the Lord forsake the works of Babylon. As for the men who took wives from them, and the women who took husbands from them, those who listen to you shall cross over, and you take them into Jerusalem. But those who do not listen to you, do not lead them there." And Jeremiah spoke these words to the people, and they arose and came to Jordan to cross over. And he told them the words that the Lord had spoken to him. Half of those who had taken spouses from them did not wish to listen to Jeremiah, but said to him, "We will never forsake our wives, but we will bring them back with us into our city." And so they crossed the Jordan and came to Jerusalem. And Jeremiah and Baruch and Abimelech stood up and said, "No man joined with Babylonians shall enter this city." And they said to one another, "Let us arise and return to Babylon, to our place." And they departed. But while they were coming to Babylon, the Babylonians came out to meet them, saying, "You shall not enter our city, for you hated us, and you left us secretly. Therefore you cannot come in with us. For we have taken a solemn oath together in the name of our God to receive neither you nor your children, since you left us secretly." And when they heard this, they returned and came to a desert place some distance from Jerusalem, and built a city for themselves, and named it Samaria. And Jeremiah sent to them, saying, "Repent, for the angel of righteousness is coming, and will lead you to your exalted place." Now those who were with Jeremiah were rejoicing and offering sacrifices on behalf of the people for 9 days. But on the 10th, Jeremiah alone offered sacrifice. And he prayed a prayer, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, fragrant aroma of the living trees, the light that enlightens me until I ascend to you. For your mercy I beg you, for the sweet voice of the two seraphim I beg for another fragrant aroma. And may Michael, archangel of righteousness, who opens the gates of the righteous, be my guardian until he causes the righteous to enter. I beg you, Almighty Lord of all creation, unbegotten and incomprehensible, in whom all judgment was hidden before these things came into existence." When Jeremiah had said this, and while he was standing in the altar area with Baruch and Abimelech, he became as one whose soul had departed. And Baruch and Abimelech were weeping and crying out in a loud voice, "Woe to us, for our father Jeremiah has left us. The priest of God has departed." And while the people heard their weeping, and they all ran to them, and saw Jeremiah lying on the ground as if dead. They tore their garments and put dust on their heads and wept bitterly. And after this, they prepared to bury him, and behold, there came a voice saying, "Do not bury the one who yet lives, for his soul is returning to his body." And when they heard the voice, they did not bury him, but stayed around his tabernacle for 3 days, saying, "When will he arise?" And after 3 days, his soul came back into his body. And he raised his voice in the midst of them all and said, "Glorify God with one voice, all of you glorify God, and the Son of God who awakens us, Messiah Jesus, the light of all the ages, the inextinguishable lamp, the life of faith. But after these times, there shall be 477 years more, and he comes to earth. And the tree of life planted in the midst of paradise will cause all the unfruitful trees to bear fruit and will grow and sprout forth. And the trees that had sprouted and became haughty and said, 'We have supplied our power to the air,' he will cause them to wither with the grandeur of their branches, and he will cause them to be judged, that firmly rooted tree. And what is crimson will become white as wool. The snow will be blackened. The sweet waters will become salty, and the salty sweet, in the intense light of the joy of God. And he will bless the isles so that they become fruitful by the word of the mouth of his Messiah. For he shall come, and he will go out and choose for himself 12 apostles to proclaim the news among the nations. He whom I have seen adorned by his Father and coming into the world on the Mount of Olives, and he shall fill the hungry souls." And when Jeremiah was saying this concerning the Son of God, that he is coming into the world, the people became very angry and said, "This is a repetition of the word spoken by Isaiah, son of Amos, when he said, 'I saw God and the Son of God.' Come then, and let us not kill him by the same sort of death with which we killed Isaiah, but let us stone him with stones." And Baruch and Abimelech were greatly grieved because they wanted to hear in full the mysteries that he had seen. But Jeremiah said to them, "Be silent and weep not, for they cannot kill me until I describe for you everything I saw." And he said to them, "Bring a stone here to me." And he set it up and said, "Light of the ages, make this stone to become like me in appearance, until I have described to Baruch and Abimelech everything that I saw." And then the stone, by God's command, took on the appearance of Jeremiah. And they were stoning the stone, supposing that it was Jeremiah. But Jeremiah delivered to Baruch and to Abimelech all the mysteries he had seen. And forthwith he stood in the midst of the people, desiring to complete his ministry. Then the stone cried out, saying, "O foolish children of Israel, why do you stone me, supposing that I am Jeremiah? Behold, Jeremiah is standing in your midst." And when they saw him, immediately they rushed upon him with many stones, and his ministry was fulfilled. And when Baruch and Abimelech came, they buried him, and taking the stone, they placed it on his tomb and inscribed it thus, "This is the stone that was the ally of Jeremiah." All right. And so that is the story of the parapluralion of Jeremiah. All right, I'm going to check the comments. I hope that you found it interesting. I think it's truly an interesting story. And it gives you a perspective of, again, the omnipotence of God and how he can preserve even the figs, you know, preserving them, and how even Abimelech, how he slept peacefully for 66 years and never hungered, never thirsted, never was in any way close to death from being, I guess, kind of put in a stasis. All right. Okay, from Night Watchman. I guess he's like a flycatcher. He says, how do we know the Watchers actually didn't help to jumpstart civilization? They may have indeed helped to jumpstart civilization, but that doesn't mean that they didn't deliver the secrets of the heavens, the mysteries of the heavens, without a price. And the reason they are not considered to be benevolent or holy is because they demanded child and victim sacrifice, and that all of the pagan cultures which were under the religion of the Fallen Watchers and that accepted a pantheon of gods and goddesses, these cultures, these civilizations, they were involved in abominable practices, which is why the Most High was absolutely adamant against them and against paganism and idolatry. And so that's the thing that they don't tell you on Ancient Aliens. I mean, I remember an episode called the Satanic Conspiracy, where they absolutely turned the whole doctrine of Christianity upside down, and like the Freemasons and like you are asserting here, Night Watchman, that the Masons said that, you know, Satan sacrificed of himself, Lucifer as the light bearer, he sacrificed of himself to help humanity, and that he helped jumpstart the civilization of humanity. He brought down free will and brought down, you know, basically took us out of the dark ages, took humanity out of, you know, the innocence of Adam and Eve and the way that they had lived, and established, you know, all this great civilization, brought down all the things that are asserted by the Book of Enoch, you know, even all this black magic and occultism, knowledge of the stars, knowledge of metallurgy, what the creation of weapons of war, and all of these things, so-called advances in technology and civilization, all of these things were found to be harmful to humanity, and of such harm that the consequences of their decisions to bring such knowledge and technology have found them excluded from salvation and found them being judged harshly, judged, being granted given the worst sentence that could ever be perpetuated on a creation of the Most High, on an angelic being, that being not only to be cast into outer darkness and separated from the Most High God, but they're going to be wiped out as if they had never been. And so there's a reason why the Most High judged them with such severity. And it's because not only did they deliver these so-called advancements and, you know, this civilization and these mysteries of the heaven. But they demanded and they involved the people, leading them astray. They involved them in abomination, which is why their interdiction into the affairs of humanity, it was not a good thing. And it, actually, if I have time, I'm going to try to pull up one other quote, which will help you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to look it up real quick. It's from the Apocryphon of John, the secret book of John in the Nag Hammadi Codices. If I can find it real quick. I'm going to see if I can locate it and read it to you real quick. Give me just a minute here. This will sum it up precisely. If I can find it. All right. It's two paragraphs. Here's one of them. It says this. He made a plan with his authorities, which are his powers, and they committed together adultery with Sophia, and bitter fate was begotten through them, which is the last of the changeable bonds. And it is of a sort that is interchangeable and is harder and stronger than she with whom the gods united and the angels and the demons and all the generations until this day. For from that fate came forth every sin and injustice and blasphemy and the chain of forgetfulness and ignorance and every severe command and serious sins and great fears. And thus the whole creation was made blind, in order that they may not know God, who is above all of them. And because of the chain of forgetfulness, their sins were hidden. For they are bound with measures and times and moments, since it is fate is Lord over everything. All right, hold on. I'm going to try to find the other paragraph. Okay, here's the other one, I believe. And he made a plan with his powers. He sent his angels to the daughters of men, that they might take some of them for themselves and raise offspring for their enjoyment. And at first they did not succeed. When they had no success, they gathered together and they made a plan together. They created a counterfeit spirit who resembles the spirit who had descended so as to pollute the souls through it. And the angels changed themselves in their likeness into the likeness of their mates, the daughters of men, filling them with the spirit of darkness which they had mixed for them, and with evil. They brought gold and silver and a gift of copper and iron and metal and all kinds of things, and they steered the people who had followed them into great troubles by leading them astray with many deceptions. They, the people, became old without having enjoyment. They died not having found truth and without knowing the God of truth. And thus the whole creation became enslaved forever from the foundation of the world until now. Which basically that lets you know, enslaved forever until the foundation until now. And it's the same thing. Even the Anunnaki, they talk about how they were trying to create a slave race. And so, I mean, you think these beings are good and that they were good for society and for culture? If you think so, then, you know, then you're a friend of evil. And I guess you think that the Matrix is good too. And deceit is good, and because basically that's what they brought to us. Well, anyways, at least I was able to find that passage. Let me check again into the chat room. Night Watchman says, I don't believe any of this stuff anymore. Well, whether you believe it or not, the word, the gospel is 100% prophetic. Everything that has been written within it, those things which have not yet come to pass, will come to pass. And there is no other text, no other books out there which have been written in such way, which lets you know, whether you believe it's brainwashing or not, lets you know that they are absolutely divinely inspired. And the fact that the Bible codes are also encoded upon and based upon these texts, you know, you can deny all you want, but that doesn't make it untrue, which is why so many of us that have discovered and learned these things, we know that that these scriptures are divinely inspired. And yes, I do know that King James was a Freemason, and I also know that he was a bisexual, but that does not detract from the King James Version of the Bible being divinely inspired, and that the Bible codes are also based upon it as text. And again, it is 100% prophetic. And so anyways, whether you deny it or not, doesn't make it untrue. God bless all of you. I pray that the Most High leads you in truth. And I pray that this story and, you know, and that the scriptures bless you and keep you and lead you in truth and understanding, and that that you continue to seek Him in relationship, because there are many things contained within the scriptures that are still little understood, such as the flat earth and Cain being a child of the devil, all of those things. Anyways, I pray for you, your children, your families. May you be blessed. Till next time, God bless all. Good night.